Have you ever been on the receiving end of, I don't know, an unexpected kindness? I mean, just out of the blue, someone did something for you that you weren't expecting and it just kind of caught you off guard. Maybe someone helped you change a flat tire. Someone in the line in front of you, when you got up to the window to pay for your food through the drive-thru, they've already paid for it. And they're expecting you to pass it to the person behind, but you don't. You just take your food and say, thanks. Or maybe that's just me. I don't know. Maybe someone forgives you, and they might have been holding a grudge. Maybe it's something you didn't even realize you said or something you didn't realize you did, but this person now has forgiven you, and it's powerful. It's that kind of love kind of just stops us in our tracks because it's so unexpected. You know, we're guarded as humans. We think there's going to be some ulterior motive here. What are they after? Are they just being nice for some reason? Well, Jesus says this better way, treating others, loving others, doing for others, surprising others, forgiving others, loving others, he's saying that it's not just a nice idea. This is what I expect from you. It's the way his followers are recognized in the world. My text this morning is in John chapter 13, and I'm going to start in verse 24, and I'm just going to read 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Then he says this, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. How are we going to be judged as Christ followers? By the love that we have for others. Our tenets of our church, the 3 points that make us who we are. Love God. We talked about that last week. You've got to love God with everything that's in you, heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second is to love others. And that's how they'll know that we are disciples of Christ. These words, as you read through this in the book of John, were spoken in the upper room on the very night that Christ was betrayed. He had just washed his disciples' feet, which was a servant's job. They went through the thing. Peter goes, you're not going to touch my feet. Jesus says, if I don't touch your feet, you can't have part of me. He says, okay, wash the whole thing. He goes, I don't need to wash the whole thing. It's just your feet that's dirty. And yet it's the same night that Judas leaves and goes to betray him. And yet here is our Lord and Savior talking about loving others, knowing that Peter in very few short hours is going to betray him. I don't even know who you are. I don't know that man. And Judas is going to betray him with a kiss. It's not a sentimental type of love. This is the love that Christ is talking about, where you kneel down with a towel, that you love, that doesn't just stay at the table, but it stays at the table with the traitor. And you love them. And it's love that eventually walks to the cross to be brutally murdered and crucified. So, if we want to live our mission in life, we love God. We talked about that. But now we're going to talk about the mission to love like Christ. We can't do it in our own flesh. It has to be with the power of the Spirit in us. We have to learn to love like Jesus. So, my first point, love is the mark of a disciple. Jesus says, this is how they're going to know whose you are. As if you have love for one another, they're going to know you're mine. The world will not know that we are Christians because of our theology degrees that we hang on a wall. Not going to know by the worship playlist that we throw out every week. Or even the social media post. Hey, I'm praying for you today. It says that he's going to know us by our love. In the Greek, they use the word agape in here. And it's not this romantic affection. It's not friendship. It's a self-giving, other-first love that doesn't depend on the worthiness of the recipient. It's the very love that God had for us, that while we were still sinners and far from Him, He sent Christ to die for us. This love isn't ordinary. It's as I have loved you. And how did Christ love us? He was sacrificial. He was patient. He was relentless. Think about how Jesus loved Peter. Peter was one of the inner circle. You know, he had his 12 disciples, but there were these three, Peter, James, and John, and they kind of were this inner circle with Jesus. So Jesus loved him. Remember walking on the water, Jesus is walking, they think it's a ghost, woo, and they freak out. And then Peter says, wait a minute, if that's you, bid me to come out on the water with you. And so what does Peter do? He steps out and starts walking on the water until he thinks, I'm not supposed to be walking on the water. And he turns around and he looks and he sees the waves and the storm and he begins to sink. And Jesus pulls him out, puts him back in the boat. He loved Peter, and yet Peter betrayed him. Man, no one's going to kill you. If they kill you, they can kill me. That's what he said. And Jesus looked at him and said, I'll tell you, before this very night is over, you're going to betray me. Not only once, not only twice, but three times. He denied Jesus, and yet Jesus cooks him breakfast, a fish breakfast. He's out fishing. The only thing that he knows, he's out there, and they're talking about all of the stuff that's going on, and he looks, and there's this man on the beach cooking breakfast, and he realizes it's Jesus, and so he jumps overboard and just goes racing to the shore. That's the kind of love that Christ had for us. Even if someone betrays you, you still love them and to provide for them and to do for them. Or Judas, take Judas, washes Judas's feet. He knows the betrayal is coming. In fact, he serves Judas, he serves him the cup and the bread. And he says, one of you will betray me. Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? It's the one who takes the cup from me. Here you go, Judas, have a sip. Still loved him, knowing he was about to be betrayed. That's not a casual love. It's a covenant love that our God has for us. When people interact with you, do they sense in you the love of Jesus? If someone only knew Jesus through how you treat other people, what version of Jesus would they see in your life? We kind of talked about that a little bit in our Sunday school class today. It's oftentimes it's easier for us to give and to do things than it is to receive things. Because sometimes when we receive things, we think like, okay, now I owe that person something. And it becomes this conditional thing. But the love that Christ has for us is unconditional. And the love that we're supposed to have for each other is unconditional. Number two, love means seeing people as God sees them. Asking for godly vision to see people as God sees them. There's a story in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. It says, one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, well, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? And the man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. Now, by chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed over to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant, a Levite, walked over and looked at him lying there, but also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he had compassion for him. And going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, which was about 2 days' wages, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "Well, the one that showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." You see, what the religious leader saw as a burden or a boundary, the Samaritan saw a person made in the very image of God. And when we read that story, we think, "Oh man, the priest and the Levite, they're bad dudes. Why didn't they stop?" Due to the clean laws being unclean and clean, the priest couldn't be around that. And so what happens? He sees the man there, sees the open wounds and everything, and what does he do? He walks to the other side, which is what the priest probably would have done to stay clean. The Levite, which is just a temple assistant, he's not the high priest or whatever, he comes in, he sees the same guy, and again, he's set a boundary. God's law says, don't get dirty, stay clean, and yet, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Within the rules of religion, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And yet the Samaritan, which is the half-breed, the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. As you remember from the story, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, where Jesus says, "Hey, I got to go to Samaria." And his disciples are like, "Man, we need to go around Samaria. You don't want to go there." It's like, "Yeah, I have to go there." And yet the Samaritan, this half-breed, this unwanted, unloved, second-class citizen, so to speak, sees the man in trouble, stops, and helps him, and then even pays for his recovery. We're not going to love well until we can see well. And in order to see well, we have to start seeing people as God sees them, that they're not unlovable. You love them. They're God's creation. They're made in the very image of God. And sometimes that flies against everything we believe. Man, I'm going to church on Sundays. You know, I'm trying not to cuss in traffic. I'm doing all these right things. And this guy over here, he's getting on my last nerve. I just want to smack him. That's not the love God calls us to. Pray for that person. The Jews and Samaritans despised each other. The religious leaders in this story, the priest and Levite, they had those ceremonial purity laws to uphold. But their religion, you see what happened, became an excuse for how they act. "Oh, yeah, you can't bring that into our church. Oh, you can't do that because we have these rules." The Samaritan, he crossed ethnic and religious and social boundaries to help someone that would have hated him probably if the roles would have been reversed. A Samaritan helping a Jew. When Jesus looked at people, he didn't just see politics. He didn't see their failures. He didn't see their past. He didn't see any of those things that sometimes we see and judge people. He saw them in the very image of God. So, who are you tempted to walk past in your everyday life? I admit, sometimes I do. You know, when you're coming out of Walmart or something and there's, you know, families and people holding up signs, "Hey, you know, help a vet," or "Hey, feed my family. I've been out of work for 10 years now," and or whatever their sign says, what do? Try not to make eye contact. You know, it's like the people when you go into Sam's or Costco and those people that are trying to sell you telephones and they grab you right as you go in, you know. Hey, who's your carrier? It's like, man, I don't even want to talk about it. I'm just not going to make eye contact. I'm just going to go. We have to start seeing people like God sees them. Who have you written off? "Ah, they're too far gone. I don't want anything to do with them. They are no longer my problem. I've had it up to here." Is there someone in your life that maybe you need to stop, take a deep breath? "Okay, God, you're going to have to help me to learn to love. Third point. I kind of took this from the prophet Boston, you know, the band. Love, it's more than a feeling. Bum, bum, bum. It's a choice. Love is a choice. Love is an act. Love is something that we do. It's not just something that we feel. I get these butterflies. Well, those butterflies may be nausea, okay? In 1 John, it says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." See, love, real love is interruptible. The Samaritan likely had somewhere to be. I'm on my way. I see this guy hurt. I've got appointments to do. I've got stuff to do. I got a whole list of things. But he stopped. He was interrupted. Jesus stopped for Bartimaeus, the blind beggar. Jesus stopped for the widow at Nain to raise her son back and give it to. Jesus stopped for people because people mattered. Love slows down. It's not in a hurry. It's interruptible. I'd stop if I could, but man, you know, I got to get to the store before it closes. You know, stop. See people as God sees them. Love is also costly. Love's going to cost us something. It takes time. It may cost you time. It may cost you your energy. Sometimes it's going to cost you money. The Samaritan paid for the man's care. Jesus paid for all of our sins with his blood. It costs us something because we are giving part of ourselves to this person. And love, not only is it costly and interruptible, it's messy. Love is messy because real people have real problems. And sometimes those real problems kind of get in the way and we focus on the people's problems instead of the person. It means maybe touching wounds. It may be walking with people through their addictions or their failures or their grief that they're going through. Because love is messy. There is no perfect love except for the love that God has for us. The same love that Christ took and went to the cross on our behalf. We are selfish, self-centered a lot of times. It's like, yeah, I'll help you, and I feel good about that in the moment. But then I start to think, well, okay, what do I get out of this? What are you going to do for me? Love is messy. It'll interrupt your schedule. It'll cost us something. I think for me, as I was growing up, and I would hear a sermon like this, I would think, okay, I'm going to go out, I'm going to be a better lover. So what I'm going to do then is I'm going to find the perfect moment to love. And I don't know what that's going to look like because I don't know what the week's going to hold. But you don't have to wait for a perfect moment. I don't know if there'll ever be a perfect moment. You can just show up for someone this week. Maybe a neighbor or a coworker or a friend that's hurting. You know, that phone call, every time you see it, you go like, oh, I wonder what they want. I wonder what they want. Maybe you could pay for a stranger's groceries. I've done that before. And I've done that in the wrong attitude before. You know, when the lady in front of you is going through trying to find coupons or finding everything, and you're just standing there with just a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread, and they've got this whole cart, and they're going like, well, this, and they're going like, you know, I'm sorry, that coupon expired like 10 years ago, and they're just going through the thing, and I'm like, you know what? I want to pay for her groceries. Just let me pay for them. Oh, what a great act. No, I just want her out of the way, you know? If I'm being honest, it's like, God, change my attitude. Help me to be more Christ-like. Help me to love others the way that you do. What about calling that person that you've been avoiding to ask how they're really doing and really care how they're doing? One thing my mom is really good at is sending out cards or text I don't ever really read all the jokes she sends, you know, because it's like, you know, y'all get on to me about dad jokes, but my mom's are bad jokes, you know, and I'm like, I don't even want to hear them, right? But she was great at writing cards. You know, you go to the mailbox and you open up. I asked her one time, why don't you just text them? And they're like, she says, no, people like to get a card. It's like, okay. Do something. Do something. Be somebody. I want to close with this story, and it's a story I think many of us are familiar with. After surviving the horrors of a Nazi concentration camp, Corrie Ten Boom encountered one of her former guards at a church service. And after she talked and everything, everybody at the inn was coming up to her, and she saw this former guard that had mistreated her and her sisters. And she says, I started shaking. And he held out his hand and said, I have found Christ. I have been born again. Will you forgive me? And he holds out his hand. It says, her heart froze. She remembered the cruelty, the humiliation, the suffering, and forgiveness felt impossible. But she prayed silently, Jesus, I cannot forgive him, so give me your love. And she said she felt God's strength flow through her arm as she took his hand and said, I forgive you. This is the supernatural love that God has for us. Love that overcomes hatred, heals deep wounds, points us to a better kingdom. Jesus didn't just say, love. Go out and love. He didn't just say that. He showed us how to love. He demonstrated it for us. He loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us when we didn't even want him. He loved us to the point of dying on the cross for us, and that's the love we've received, and it's the love that we're called to give. Better love has no man than he lays down a life for a friend. Think of others as better than yourself. Be a servant. Be the least of these. And now he tells us, as I have loved you, you must love one another. Jesus, teach us to love like you. Open our eyes to see people as you see them. Break our hearts, Father, for what breaks your heart. Teach us not just to talk about love, but to live it in our homes, our workplaces, our communities. Father, help us to be better disciples, to be points of light to a world that definitely needs to know you. Father, help us not to walk past the hurting, the lost. Help us to see them as you see them. And Father, we pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.